deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 63 of Flashpoint. It's great to be here as always. We've got a bit of a special guest, but first I want to, doff my cap is the better word, to Simon. How are you?
I will eat your soul.
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, were you just wanting to gazump someone? He usually does that. All will be revealed. And Christy, how are you?
I'm very glad to be here since yesterday I jumped out of a plane. So I'm kind of glad to be anywhere except splattered in a field.
So you parachuted?
Yes, I went skydiving. Yeah, they actually have a thing now where they give you a free tandem skydiving. That's how they, because they can't land, so they just free you out.
Just circle the field and push you out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Good stuff. And joining us this week is someone, and I was just talking to him before the show, it'd be at least 20 episodes. Mystery guest, would you like to reveal yourself? See, we didn't even tee that up before the show. I should have. Oh, God. How are you, Mr. Ed Wilson?
Yes.
How are you, Mr. Ed Wilson? It's great to have you back.
I am absolutely perfect. Actually, I am sane.
You're sane?
Yes, I am sane.
That's one thing that's changed since last time, so that's good.
I am sane. It's everyone else is crazy.
And that's Sorry. Ed's last laugh this episode, otherwise it'll be another 30 episodes before he comes back.
Oh, come on, David.
That's harsh.
My devoted fan is in withdrawal from not hearing my maniacal chuckle, that's my evil great. Maniacal chuckle, even as bad as it sounds on the recording.
Nah, it's great. So we've got lots to talk about, so let's jump first up into Star Wars The Old Republic, as always, with Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
I'm going to do a bit of a short Star Wars The Old Republic segment this week because, and feel free to contradict me in the comments on the post, but there's not a huge amount that's happened. But before we get on to the actual news, Simon, I believe you've been doing a little bit.
Yeah, I had a bit of a play around in the bounty contract event. I have to admit I've been a bit, well, I haven't had a lot of time because of partly of work concerns, but wanted to dip my toe in and had a good wander around the new area on the fleet, and quite impressive. I was really quite pleased with the amount of work they put into that. It's well laid out. They've moved the lore object up there that was on the fleet. Obviously, I'm talking about the Imperial because I really couldn't give a rat's clacker about the Republic side. And the character change, you know, the new U facelift boothy, whatever the hell that's called, has been shifted up there, which I think makes a lot more sense. So they've utilized the space well. As far as the event itself goes, nothing terribly complicated about it. It all seems fairly straightforward from what I could tell. And dare I say, probably a little bit repetitive, especially since this thing's going to be coming back 1 week of every month. So I'm hoping that they might add some additional things or just sort of mix things up each time it comes up rather than just, otherwise it's going to get very, very, very grindy very, very quickly, especially if you're using alts. To
lead
your reputation gains.
there wouldn't be grind in an MMO, Simon. There can't be. No. Say it ain't so.
There's grind and then there's grind. There's grind in, as in getting 100% Arabica beans and making a perfect cup of coffee. And then there's grind as in sticking a bunch of old shrubs into a wood chipper. I prefer the coffee rather than the wood chipper.
And speaking of old shrubs, I just want to give a shout out to Gail straight up because I missed her the last two times.
Burn.
Yeah. So. So it's good that you jumped in. I'm embarrassed to say I put in a heap of time on Star Wars: The Old Republic, and I don't think taken part in the bounty event. So that's this is where I really struggle with Star Wars: The Old Republic. That unless you really know where it starts, it's not something you easily stumble across.
Well, no, I mean they did certainly on the Imperial fleet. They did glitz up the entrance to the elevator that leads up to it. It's a lot of decoration there, so that immediately catches your eye if you're stumbling around or doing what I do, which is get on my luxury sail barge and in a state of almost complete nudity and just kind of sail around eating grapes just because.
You've got to post a screenshot of that. That's gold.
And what else is a sail barge?
Or not. You can have your sail barge. I'll take my tank. And blow your sail barge into very small pieces. Thank you.
Oh, you got to catch me first, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
You're fast. You can't outrun a laser cannon.
It's Star Wars. I can outrun anything I like as long as I've got an astromech keeping my hyperdrive running.
All right. before I get to Christy, what are you? You do have a level 55 now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. That's what I thought you did. So was that what you're mostly playing on?
I did a little bit of tinkering because some of it's across Legacy. I thought I'd give a bounty hunter a bit of a run since, you know, it seems more suited to him than my increasingly gay Sith juggernaut. So, yeah.
Actually, you've just reminded me. I know I told you, Simon, when we caught up at PAX, and I don't think you were there, Christy, that my Scythe, Sith Warrior, who I haven't played for a while, but when we swapped servers, I had to change his name. I think I just had a randomised name, and I actually have called him Captain Tennille, which I'm quite proud of. Captain Tennille, the Sith Warrior.
It's quite good in a completely horrible way.
Yeah, yeah. Goes on with Wheeze and Henry and Twonkalonk, so it's all good.
Yeah, well, you've actually lifted your game in naming stakes.
That's right.
Lifted it from the gutter to the sewer.
Exactly. I've been playing a little bit as well. My troop is up to level 35, but the most time I spent over the last 2 weeks on tour was with my 55 Consular, or my Sage, and I actually did a bunch of hard mode 50 flashpoints, and then I did a bunch of 55 normal flashpoints, and including the new... It's CZ198 and the other one. So I think one of them I ran twice, and they're quite enjoyable. Quite enjoyed them. Picked up a bit of gear, so it was all good. And no one laughed at me, so I can't complain.
Oh, that's an improvement.
It is an improvement. I think I had one comment on my gear, but I have improved it a bit, so it's good. Christy, you played any... Oh, no, sorry, we already talked before the show. You're going to enlighten us about Final Fantasy XIV later.
Yes, but for Star Wars news, it has just been confirmed that the new Star Wars Episode 7 is going to be filmed on 35mm film instead of digital. So yes. Hooray, hooray.
That's great news.
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to get back the style of the originals instead of the... other ones.
But the one story I read on that was also that they concerned that that was an open invitation for, total mental blank, J.J. Abrams to use his lens flare to death because it's easy to do on 35mm film. That's the one story I read.
Yes, it is true. You can't do the lens flares so well with the 3D digital. Yeah. So, yeah, it And the cinematographer is the one who did the Star Trek Into Darkness and Mission Impossible 3, so I'm expecting a lot of flashy action scenes.
No, not in an Abrams movie.
I just want the damn thing to come out, although I want it to be good, so...
Yeah, I'm kind of getting old of the action movies now where they just, instead of actually making it action, they just keep flashing at you, you know, with the camera, and you're like, so nothing much is actually going on. I can't see what's going on. You're just moving the camera really quick. That's not action.
You know what the best action movie I've seen recently was? Red.
That is a good film.
They're making a second one, actually.
They've made a second one, and it's out.
Made a second one. Oh, and, wow. I'm so surprised.
Oh, my God. I mean, it just... I mean, Bruce Willis, John Malkovich, all the others, you're just like, okay, yeah, these guys, wow.
There you go. A movie recommendation first up. And just last bit about my playtime. I actually have had the most frustrating 2 weeks ever with Star Wars The Old Republic in that it's the first time I've actually wanted to stop playing. I've been that angry with a quest line. And I'm trying to work out if anyone, Ed, I'm probably sure you, I know you don't play it as much anymore, but you might have done it, which is the macro binocular quest.
Oh, yes.
So both of you probably know this, although have you both done it on the Imperial side?
I have done it on both sides.
Okay, so yeah,
Imperial side is far more aggravating.
Okay, because I've done the Republic side anyway. There's this ridiculous quest where you have to run the gauntlet of where the floor's electrified. Do you remember that one, Simon?
Yes.
Yeah, you do, Ed.
Yes.
And I even looked up Dolphy.net and obviously understood, but the pictures on there weren't clear, and I spent literally hours... understanding that you needed to click on... Sorry, this is a spoiler for anyone that hasn't done it. Clicking on the roof panel to turn one of the electrified bits off so you can run to it. But it wasn't clear. It took me hours and hours to work out is that I was actually clicking on the second panel, not the first one that you need initially. And it took me ages to work this out. So I would constantly... die, and once you're in the middle of that electric field, every time you revive, even if you time it miraculously, most times you die again, and so you have to release and go out to the, which is not that far, and run back in again. Simon, did you knock it over first pop, I'm guessing?
No.
Were you angry with it?
I rage quit on that and basically left the whole thing for several weeks.
Seriously? That's good. Wow. That makes me feel better.
I've got some chocolate biscuits if you want.
Don't tempt me with chocolate biscuits.
But when I first started playing DC Universe Online, the controls were extremely glitchy, to say the least. It was, and I thought, because I was using an Xbox controller, and I thought it was a fault with the controller, so I took the battery pack off, went to my door and threw it clear over the neighbor's property and into the one over, and heard the plastic shatter on the concrete drive. Later realized it was actually the software. So yeah, I've learned to if I get too frustrated with something, just to turn it off, walk away. Otherwise, something quite expensive will usually get broken.
Crack. Yes.
Yep. And this one is an absolutely useless quest from the viewpoint that there is no obvious, unless you're into solving a puzzle for 4 hours, the chances of you working out that you hit the first panel, then run to that one tile, and then hit the second panel and get through is zero. So you have to go to another site to find the answer. That makes it pointless.
I hate to say this, David. I really, really hate to say this.
What, you got it, worked it out first pop and didn't need any help?
I played through the macro binocular quest when it was still in closed beta. And yes, I figured the thing was, you're supposed to look around the area before you charge in.
Who does that?
I know, but... then again, in most of the games I play snipers, and we generally don't move very fast. We move very slowly. and we blow the ever-living crap out of things from a long ways away. This is what I do. But I like to know what I'm getting into before I jump into them. And, you know, I realized there was something going on, so I hit the switches, watched what happened, and then said, okay, yeah, this is what I need to do. Sorry, David.
Oh, look, I agree with a good puzzle, and the ones in the lead-up to that were great about using the... like the gas valves, and there were some cool things. And yes, I had to look up sites to work out parts of it, but it was only because I was keen to get through it. If I'd actually stopped and spent a fair bit of time, I would have worked it out. This one, I'm convinced I would have spent days before I worked it out, just because
there are, yeah, there were, oh, you should have seen it in the closed beta. Ugh. You think there were problems with it now? Ooh. There were spots in there that, you hit the switch and the timer, there's a timer on it, and you get halfway into it and you're fried. Or you get halfway into it and your companion doesn't follow you, or you fall through a hole, or, you know, it was just, there were a lot of things wrong with it in the closed beta. They finally fixed it all, well, most of it.
And you've prompted me on a really good point, though. As you mentioned about the timing of it, because of the lag we're getting now that we no longer have local servers, it made that quest even worse, because the lag time between either reviving or even from hitting the switch and things happening affected your ability to do it.
Oh, when we get to my segment, I have a long rant about lag.
Oh, excellent. We like a long rant. All right, so let's do the one bit of Star Wars The Old Republic news I was going to be asked talking about, and that was that the 2.3.1 game update is live, fairly hot on the heels at 2.3. It's mostly new items for the cartel market. The first packs of Shipment 3 are now available. New Galactic Reputation Organization. Players may now gain reputation with the Bounty Supply Company, a group loosely affiliated with the Hutt cartel. Yeah, it's another whole episode about reputation in SWTOR. I hate it. Implemented changes to improve the overall experience for free-to-play players at early levels. And there's, yeah, it's a lot of detail in there. It's on our site or on the Star Wars The Old Republic site. A lot of class-related, you know, balancing stuff, and some improvements to the interface for some. And that's about it, really. Yeah.
Stop. Yeah, I think the free-to-play and preferred get sprint earlier than
we getting 10 or something, I think it is. Yeah. So, yeah. And Scum and Villainy Operations had a bunch of tweaks, and yeah, so there's a bit in there. And I'd like to say let's have a quick talk about 2.4, but I've done no research, so I have no idea what they've got promising for that, so we might leave that for next episode.
Well, there's probably... one thing I think is probably worth mentioning, at least, is the 8v8 ranked is being pulled.
Oh.
So the PvP patch or update is granted no one, or there weren't a lot of people playing. Well, there was barely anyone playing 8v8 ranked, apparently. So I mean, anyone who listens to this knows that I couldn't give a rat's clacker about PvP much either, but I do respect the fact that PvP players have not been getting a lot of love, and they really deserve a bit, because the ones that are still in the game, I think they need some sort of medal.
Yeah,
hanging in this long, and one of the reasons they've been hanging in this long is because they were promised something substantial. Now, granted, there's three new arenas being added in 2.4, one on Corellia, one on Tatooine, and one on an orbital station, which is no longer being called Space Garage, I'm pleased to say. and it's possible they're going to be adding another one. I think it may be Mekeb, I think there's some glitches with that they're still trying to work through. So, yeah, and there's a new Hutball map coming as well. So, yeah, they taketh away with one hand, but they giveth with the other. So I suppose there's something to be said for that. But all in all, for people who have been working in 8v8 rank to get, you know, get the strategies built up and to just getting the gameplay nailed and getting themselves geared, setting themselves up for you know, season one of 8v8 ranked, they're now not going to get it because it ain't going to be there, or at least not for the foreseeable future. And we all know what not for the foreseeable future means.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Right there with sitting in chairs.
Chairs?
You know we what can't sit in chairs, don't
Am I supposed
you?
To be standing?
No, in the game.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you were joking. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Yeah, anyway, my stupid humor aside. Although, and this isn't 2.4, but it's coming, is apparently they will be adding a sitting emote, which is something I think anyone who has even a touching interest in RP will be pleased to hear about. Well, they're not going to be pleased to hear about, of course, is it's going to be in a pack.
Oh,
and
good.
It's going to be a random.
Oh, no.
So you've got to pay to sit.
You've got to pay.
You've got to gamble to sit.
Sit. Yes.
Yeah, gamble, that's true, yeah.
And I find it even more annoying because it's some information's got out as to why we can't actually sit anywhere apart from on our starships. It's because the sitting mechanic is broken.
Oh, good.
That's nice.
Joy.
And it's broken on your ship as well. But the thing is, every time
I've noticed that.
Go back into it, it's a new instance, so everything resets. But if you stay on the ship and you sit on the chair, and do that a certain number of times, it will eventually break and the chair will just become an object. It, you know, a thing. It won't be a seat anymore. So obviously you can imagine that that's not going to work in the open world in a cantina that's maybe reset once every week when the patch servers come down. It's even more annoying, especially after that ridiculous, what was it called, the rehabilitation or the healing meditation chair or whatever it was, where you could sit on it for 15 seconds and it would heal you. It's PvP and RP, BioWare probably would like to keep everyone happy, but I don't know whether they're clueless or they don't have the resources, but I think they've probably... They seem to be managing to piss everyone off who isn't just into the whole story thing.
Yeah, PvE, yeah.
Yeah, they can't even add day and night cycles.
Yeah.
And let's face it, for Corellia or especially for Coruscant.
Oh, it'd be spectacular.
It would be awesome. I mean, that Coruscant looked, in the movies, it looks freaking amazing at night. But everything's the same. Your characters are just these lumps that you can't really do much with unless you want to type an emote command in or unless you've bound it to a key or something. But, yeah, it's a little frustrating.
And to think in the secret world you can literally dance Gangnam style as a comparison of how someone, and that's not a good example, but how people can do bloody good emotes.
Yeah.
They constantly update on the fly versus what you get in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Well, one of the problems with The Old Republic was that there were such high expectations for it. And then, right now everything's in flux. The Electronic Arts isn't entirely sure about this, and BioWare is doing what they can, but they actually had to lay off a whole bunch of people. I think it's a lack of resources, to tell you the truth. It's not I don't think it's a lack of the will to do it, but it's a lack of the resources. And I'll touch on that as well when I talk about Warframe, but that's later.
Cool.
Well, but sorry, I'll just jump in with one other thing. I'm not sure how... Especially with now they've gone free to play, I think that's actually doing quite well for them. Financially, I think the studio BioWare Austin is doing quite well out of this, and so is EA. The fact that they've hired a manager for a web app manager, I think is an indication of that. That's something they're obviously wanting to push into, which I think we all welcome, the idea of having a web app that you can access certain things. The fact that they've brought what did they call it? Facebook Connect. They brought that feature in. Now, granted, it's pretty mindless. It doesn't give you any benefits in game, and all it really does, I think, is spam your friends list with achievements or your activities in SWTOR. But the fact that they've done that means that Facebook is able to access part of the database. So there's some sort of, they've got some, I don't know a lot about this sort of stuff, but it means there's they've got an API sorted out. And if Facebook can get into it, then they've obviously got something going at the moment, or this guy they've hired, or this team that he has subsequently hired, have got something going on. So I'm hoping that we're going to see something interesting in the way of a mobile app fairly, well, when I say fairly soon, I mean software isn't something that's easily written and produced, but you know, maybe within the next six months we might see something.
Yeah.
And I'm quite interested to see where that goes, because that could just open a whole new set of doors.
Oh, absolutely. Particularly, yeah, with all the trade skills and, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, even if you can just get your companions and your missions.
Yeah, exactly. And we should do a feature discussion one episode on whether Star Wars The Old Republic should have launched without PvP and whether that would have helped them get a few more things right in one part of the game rather than stretching themselves. But let's not get into that now.
Some would argue it did launch without PvP.
Yeah, true.
I was just about to say that, didn't it?
Good point.
Not launch?
Yeah.
Good point.
We could argue that until the sky goes dark, but it won't.
It won't, because it's no daylight cycle.
Well, that's until right. The stars go cold or the Sith actually gain love.
We have love.
Love of death and destruction. Yes, I forgot. My bad.
All right, so let's move on to some other games. I just want to emphasize once again, Simon, you have named this episode because you used the term twice. So this episode will be called Ed and the Rat's Clacker. So thank you for that.
I'm not sure how Ed's
going. I'm not sure if I'm going to appreciate that or not.
So, Ed, do you know what a clacker is?
Yes, I know what a clacker is.
That's fine then. I just wasn't sure whether it was a more Australian or English UK term. So there you go. I've learned something.
No, it's
technically, I was corrected yesterday. Technically, I am not speaking English right now, and neither are you.
All right, so let's do another podcast on that.
I am speaking American and you are speaking Australian. These are two different dialects. No, actually, I'm American in Canada at the moment, although I'm working on that. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, that's another podcast. So let's move on. What I'm going to do is mix it up a bit just to Christy, Final Fantasy 14. Tell us where it's at and how you're finding it.
It's in Head Start at the moment, so all of those of us who pre-ordered have been playing it, and considering there have been queues and there have been a lot of people, I am thinking that a lot of people are playing it. It officially launches on Tuesday, but if you haven't pre-ordered and not in the Head Start, don't worry, because Final Fantasy XIV isn't one of those MMOs where you need to get ahead of the pack. It's actually, I'd probably describe it, if you want to use AAA terms, it's Guild Wars with EVE Online interface, which I know probably has half of you cringing right now going, oh, my God. And, yes, I think a lot of people will yell and scream at the interface, but I actually really, really love it. It's complex but simple. Yeah.
Like a marketer.
You should be hired to do marketing for them, Chris.
I can use buzzwords. But yeah, the interface is definitely more complicated than most MMOs out there, I would say. They do put a lot of information there in front of you, but they use simple, quick ways so you don't have to, you know, once you learn what those symbols mean, you can very easily, quickly swap targets and see what's in your inventory, see what you're wearing, and even see what the weather's like. Like if you're missing the flashes of lightning, it actually has a little icon that tells you what the weather's like and what if it's in day or night. Yeah.
Is it synergizing an innovative paradigm though?
Well,
I think it's deconstructing the synergistic, paradigm instead of what you were said.
I think they're showing blue sky thinking in a contextualized, operationalized environment.
Okay, you win.
I think we need to stop this right now.
One of the things I will say, though, and this, granted, has become a bit of a rant for me with MMO players, is you're not going to find anything new here. MMOs are all the same. They're always going to be the same. So quit bitching and just enjoy them. Thank you.
Good point.
But yes, when I say it's like Guild Wars, it's in the sense that it is completely shared. You can attack things that other people are attacking and you still get full credit for it and they'll get full credit for it. So don't feel like you're kill stealing. There's no grey drops. The only things you get and you automatically collect them is crafting items. So you don't have to go and sell all the shit out of your bag. Oh, excuse me.
No, it's good.
If it says go collect 6 things, there literally are only 6 things to collect and they will appear on your screen and they will stay on your screen until you collect them. So you don't have to feel like you have to beat that guy to that pod because it's going to be there for you. So that's what I mean by you don't have to worry about trying to get ahead of the pack, because right now actually it's more fun to play with other people. They have events like Guild Wars 2. They call them fates. Some are started after you do a quest. Like if you kill so many little hogs, suddenly a fate will start up where these giant mama hogs will come out and try to kill you all for killing the little hoggets. So, and then others are actually started. Like you'll see a guy with a little fate icon above his head and you'll talk to him and he'll start it for you. And these are, pretty much identical to the Guild Wars-y ones. You've got to do whatever it wants you to do, either kill a big bad dude or kill lots of little dudes. And the mobs are harder. And like, so if they're level 10, they are a hard level 10, not like your usual mob level 10. But it's good. You don't have to group like you do in Rift. And as far as I can see, the contribution points are actually a lot lenient to Guild Wars 2. So if you sort of run around just being involved, it's like, yeah, sure, have some points. You're cool. And even if you get in right at the end and you only get one shot off before it dies, you still get a little bit of contribution. So I think it's kind of more being in the area for the whole length of time, doing things. That's what helps out.
And what about the pretty factor, Christy, say, compared to Guild Wars 2?
I'm in love.
So better than Guild Wars 2, about the same, just different, or?
Well, Guild Wars 2 does have that unique painted art style. I would say that Final Fantasy is more along the lines of your Ions, Guild Wars 1s. It is absolutely gorgeous. And like I was saying, things like thunderstorms is you will actually see lightning flashing. Like the whole screen will flash up like it does in real life when you have lightning. And even, I know for us country folks, city folks probably don't have ever seen it, but when you got that really bright sun and then you have the shade and you have that massive bright dark contrast, like if you ever walked through a park on a really bright day, that just comes up amazing. It's very anime style, obviously, being on the Asian persuasion. So you will see cute little people running around. I know I play the cute little cat people. I wonder why. So, yes, it is absolutely gorgeous. Granted, I am playing on max because I have my wonderful graphics card that can handle it and my awesome CPU and RAM and whatnots that can keep up with it. The lag is unfortunately noticeable. I'm not sure because I know, like, Ion had a massively horrible lag when it first started and everyone felt it. It's nothing like that. It is – the lag's definitely there, but it's not like it interrupts your gameplay. And as far as I'm aware, there's no PvP – so you don't really need to worry about those quick reactions. You can queue anyway. So if you're casting stuff, within you get into that last sort of bit, you can cut, so you are constantly casting and fighting. But, yeah, it's got the multiple class. So when you first begin, you pick one discipline But then you can, after you get to level, once you've done your level 10 quest for that discipline, you can pick others. Well, I shouldn't say discipline. They're core jobs. As far as I can see, you can only pick three, though. So I have to look into that. I've only just got to level 13 on my Conjurer, which is your healing class. So I've only just started exploring that one. But then I've also got the in-depth crafting system, which I haven't even got to yet. But yes, I'm enjoying it. It is fun. It has had a rocky launch. I think it's gone down for 3 or 4 emergency maintenances now.
Yeah, okay.
But and I wasn't there when the game actually went live because I was jumping out of an aeroplane, you know, as you do. And so I'm not sure how it went when it first started. And I know a lot of people, because they kept the characters from open beta, so a lot of people already had their characters and going. There have been queues, but the queues have been really, really quick, even though, like, when I logged onto an NA server during peak American time, which, you know, Sunday morning for us, Saturday night for them, I think I was only in the queue for less than a minute, actually. It didn't feel long at all. And you can actually click off and do other things, and then it will automatically, well, you can click onto your character and it will log you in anyway. So you're like, you never leave the queue, even if you close the little box, which is very, very handy.
So there you go. If you're absolutely, unlike the rest of us, not drowning in options of gameplay and want to pick up another game to immerse yourself in, it sounds like this might be a good one.
Yeah, I'm doing some intro videos to show it off. So they'll be on my YouTube channel once I get around to actually uploading them.
Cool.
That will show through all the very basic fates and character creation and all that sort of stuff.
Well, let us know too, because we can throw it up on the site to get you some views. As far as embedding the video, I mean, not to steal your work. You know what I mean?
They'll have to deal with my voice. So.
That's all right. They deal with it on the pod. We all look, it's better than my voice, that's for sure. So, okay, that's Final Fantasy XIV. Marvel Heroes, I'm just going to mention extremely briefly, just from a frustration viewpoint. And yeah, no, just wait, Ed, wait. So before Ed talks about how he uninstalled it totally, I just about did, but as you, for those that haven't listened for a while, Simon and I may or may not have forked out for the mega pack that cost us $200.
I have no memory of that.
No, because
I'm sure your credit card does.
Yeah. The other day, yesterday, I thought I'll log in and I might have a go. And of course, it had been probably 3 or 4 weeks. And not only was I thought, oh, yeah, it'll need an update and it'll probably take half an hour to an hour, but no, it actually required a full uninstalling of the game and download of all about 14 gigabytes worth of data again. I just don't understand how these guys are holding their heads up. But anyway, and you're not hearing any real hype around it. I don't know. I think it's not doing that well.
Hulk.
All right, Ed, so what do you like about it? What didn't you like about it?
Well, let's start. I picked up the game because I've always liked Marvel Comics superheroes, so I always thought they were more real than a lot of the DC Comics superheroes, at least of the time period.
Yeah.
And I thought, what the heck, you know, I'll play as, you know, one of my favorite iconic characters of all time. And then I go in and say, okay, you have these starting characters. That's fair enough. I don't want to play as the Thing. I'm not really all that fond of the Black Widow, so I'll play Hawkeye. No problem. Oh, I'd like to play as Captain America, however. So I'll play as Hawkeye. He's ranged DPS, and he sits out. And I go and run around, and there are 9 Hawkeyes running around all in the same costume. And I'm like, okay, this is a problem. No problem. I mean, obviously, you know, I can go change a costume. No, can't change a costume. Need to buy that. Okay. If I'm going to buy something, I want to buy Captain America because I've always wanted to play as Captain America. I mean, he's Captain America. Just, you know, not superhero, not superhuman, just the ultimate the humans can be and all this, that, and the other thing. And with the
it's
shield
a funny
and
choice
all.
For Canadian, Ed.
I'm not Canadian. Anyway, I've known Canadians who liked Captain America. I've known Canadians who like, and I've known Americans who liked Wolverine. And Wolverine is Canadian. So
don't forget Alpha.
Captain Canadia?
Yeah, don't forget Alpha Flight.
You better not forget Alpha Flight. They'll come and talk to you. Anyway, so I want to purchase Captain America. You know, it's not all that expensive, even in game currency. I click on buy in game currency, and nothing happens. And I'm like, huh? What's going on here? And I click on it again, and nothing happens. I click on it again, and nothing happens. Okay. I need to submit a ticket for this. So I submit a ticket, and a week later, I get a response. Thank you for your response. We don't know what's wrong. Have a nice day. Click.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. They are, as I say, they have not told me the fix is on Google, idiot. Fix it yourself, like Ubisoft did.
customer service at its finest.
So, it took me a week to figure out that their system wasn't set up to read the Steam community. So I had to go into the Steam profiles and click something and unclick something else. And then I could actually buy Captain America, which I did. I was bound and determined to play Captain America because, you know, I am really annoyed. I want to try this. I really, 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 really want to try this. I play it. It sucks. And I just said, to hell with it. There are so many bugs in the game. There are so many interface issues. There's so many little things. And I think I got 3/4 of the way through with my first Hawkeye character while I was waiting for the things to run. And you want to talk about a grind fest, Simon?
Oh, it's definitely that. Yeah,
it's just so bloody mindless. Run over here, shoot those guys. Run over there, shoot those guys. Run over here, shoot those guys. This guy makes a comment, shoot him. Run over here, shoot that guy. Run over here, shoot that guy. It's just, there is nothing else to do. And you...
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, the issue you raise about too many Hawkeyes running around, I actually mentioned a bunch of episodes ago, but also had to give Gazillion, you know, you can't avoid that because you can't have unlimited costumes, and it's just, but it is jarring, but you know, what can you do?
Well, I couldn't tell which one was mine.
But the grind, it just brings... Like, I still prefer Diablo 3 as far as it builds a lot more atmosphere than what Marvel Heroes ever has, as far as in the game. It doesn't bring anything new that I can see.
Well, the other thing is Diablo 3 had a much bigger budget and a much larger...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But still... that actually provides a decent segue into what I'm supposed to talk about next, if you don't mind, David.
That's fine.
I'm talking about a game that I've been playing recently that is not an MMORPG. It is an MMOFPS, or as we call it, an MMONGS. Massively Multiplayer Online Ninja Person Shooter. It's called Warframe. Now, Digital Extremes is not a large company. They're not three guys in a garage like the people who are making there are literally three guys in a garage making a game called Interstellar Marines, but that's another story entirely. They're also not Electronic Arts or Ubisoft, thank God. They have a couple hundred people working for them, but the thing that they did is they decided early on that they wanted to make a particular game. Back in 2004, they made a game called Dark Sector, and it was supposed to go one way, but all the publishers laughed at them and said, no, that's not going to work. We need to make it a spy thriller. You know, it's a sci-fi shoot-em-up ninja-type game, but we need to make it a spy thriller to sell. You know, Halo was doing very well at the time, but all the publishers are just like, oh, it's a fluke. Halo's going to go away. It's just going to disappear. Shows how much they know, huh? Anyway, the Digital Extremes made the game called Dark Sector. It did fairly well. It actually had some very cool elements to it, including a weapon that you create called a glaive that you throw at people like a saw blade, and you can guide it in midair. Ah, they're just... I'm not talking about the game.
They stole that from Thrall.
No, yeah, actually they did. They said they got the idea from Krull, but it's a different style of glaive. Anyway.
It's a good idea, though.
It's a great idea. The long about 2011, the guys at Digital Extremes, they were hired to make the Star Trek game, of which the less that said, the better. And they get this idea. You know, we want to make this game that we wanted to make back in 2004 and couldn't. But in order to do that, we need money, we need support. And none of the publishers want to help us. So, let's say we go to the players. You know, some of these, there's a lot of players out there who really want to, who really want something new, something different, something off the wall. Literally, in some cases, because you can literally run along walls, jump off them, and attack people in this game. Anyway, they put this out to the player base, to gamers, and the response was insane. So far, there are 3 million unique accounts. That's the game went open beta in March, I believe. Yes, I believe it was in March. And since then, this is like 3 million people have just said, hey, yeah, this is cool. Because we play a cybernetic space ninja. We run around, we jump, we sneak around, we have sword, we have gun, we have pistol, and we tear bad guys to pieces. It's not the most intellectually stimulating of games, it's not the most difficult of games, but their level of interaction with the community is simply unreal. When there's a problem, which there is, it's still an open beta, even though people say it's not, it is. We're still fixing things. They're still changing things. It is now one of the launch titles for the PlayStation 4.
Okay.
It has become that big of a hit. It's wow. It's called Warframe. Yes. It is free to play, which means you can play anything you want in the game. You know, you if you don't pay, you get... you don't get as many options. But the cool thing about Warframe is everything in the game, with the exception of a couple of exclusive items that were for events or for special situations, such as the people who were in closed beta got the rewards for being in closed beta when it went to open beta. Everything else in game you can get. You don't have to pay for it. And I'm playing this and playing it. I think I've got 700 hours in this game so far.
Jeez.
And I'm still having fun. I've got every single one of the Warframes because I had more money than sense. And I have no life. But yeah, I just run around and I shoot things. I run around and I cut things. And yes, they've added a glaive to this game. So not only can I run around and shoot things and cut things, but I can throw a whirling saw blade of death at people and watch it cut them to pieces. Oh,
well, that sounds like a bit of an endorsement for Warframe. And I'll make sure we link to it in the show notes.
I'm actually on the website now creating an account for it.
Me too.
It sounds, I'm sufficiently intrigued. I want to have a look.
It's the other thing is you don't have to, the thing I cannot stress enough. You don't have to pay anything in this game. And if you have a problem and you post it into the feedback or you send the support system has been overloaded since they've got so many people cramming in all of a sudden, but they've upgraded their staff, they've increased their number of staff people doing that, and hopefully that'll get better. But if you put something in the feedback forums, they act on it. I have literally seen things fixed the same day that somebody posted a problem in the feedback forums. I have never seen that in any other game.
No, that's pretty remarkable.
And I feel really bad if as you're listening to this, you heard Ed drop out a bit. It's because I was loading the Warframe front page while we're on Skype.
I'm sorry, guys. I shouldn't be, you know, hijacking your podcast here.
No,
but
it's good.
It's just, it's easily, it's not a difficult game. There is a bit of a learning curve. There are things that you will need to figure out. But most of the stuff is fairly straightforward. You know, you are a ninja. You are sent on missions you have various enemies that you have to kill. Some of them have different strengths and weaknesses. Some of them, if you see, run away. I mean, it's just basically, you know, stay away from various enemies. If you see a Scorch, do not get close to him because his flamethrower hurts. Oh, my God, it hurts. Anyway.
All right. Yeah. Good recommendation. I will definitely link to that. And if you end up playing it, please let us know what you think of it. Because I'm not going to load any more pages or I'm going to kill the audio quality.
And it's free to play, unlike some other games recently announced.
Yes, so thank you for that lovely segue, because that was what I was going to cover next, which is apparently The Elder Scrolls Online and WildStar are both going subscription model. So, Simon, you're the one on top of this one.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say on top, but
nodding
acquaintance. Basically, WildStar and, as David said, Elder Scrolls Online, aka Skyrim Online, basically, have both announced they're going with a subscription model. WildStar is buy the box and then you get 30 days with that. And then it's the customary $14.99, or if you buy three or 12 months, you get a volume discount, basically. Elder Scrolls, same thing, same price. So everyone's still following World of Warcraft. So it's good to see that some things change and some things don't. Obviously, we'll all be keeping an eye on this, because invariably, and I'm not the first person to pose this question, how long until they go free to play? You got to put it out there, because you got to wonder, even these days, considering how few games have managed to make the subscription model work as anything sustainably. Anyway. WildStar have got a slightly more interesting way of doing things, in that they've got something called CRED. It's an acronym, CRED, and I can't tell you offhand what it stands for. I can't remember what it stands for. Look it up if you're interested, but I can't imagine why you would be. Basically, it works along the same lines that EVE Online have done, in that it's basically a form of in-game currency, which the longer you're online, the more you play, the more cred you will earn. So if you put in enough hours and do enough destruction and PvP and PvE and just whatever the heck you like in-game, and you can accumulate enough cred that you can actually trade for money and effectively pay your subscription with cred. Likewise, you can do the reverse, and you can actually pay real money and get cred.
Yeah.
So
in-game currency for real money sounds bad to me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, not really. I mean, every game's got that one way or another. Or some form of it. I think the interesting thing about it really is that any game you can buy in game currency for real money, be it donuts or cartel coins or whatever. But having it work the other way, where you earn money in game and you can actually effectively reimburse it. Sorry, you can earn money in game and then reimburse it for real world currency. I think that's the point of differentiation. So it's an interesting idea. It might work. It's just a matter of whether WildStar can beat the other big players to market early enough.
It's been tried. It has been tried, and I don't think it worked out very well.
But it works in EVE.
And the classic...
Although Eve is a special case.
The classic example of where it has and does still work is in Second Life.
Oh, that's true.
It has a floating exchange rate and you can cash out your Linden dollars into US dollars, and I have a number of times.
Mm.
And works well, but albeit for a game, well, it's not a game, but a virtual world that's probably on the decline, but yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm not going to be subbing for any more games, I can tell you that. BioWare is still going to be the ones getting my money, for unless they really start pissing me off, but for the time being, that's my MMO of choice. But interesting to see where the other newcomers to the, especially one that's anticipated like WildStar and Elder Scrolls, especially Elder Scrolls. I mean, if Elder Scrolls comes to market first, I think WildStar is going to have to scramble pretty hard to get noticed.
Unless Elder Scrolls Online's graphics do look as bad as that leaked footage from a couple of months back, in which case WildStar has nothing to worry about.
Well, yeah, that is true, even though WildStar does look a bit cartoony, but I don't really have a problem with it. People compare it to World of Warcraft's cartooniness. In all honesty, I think you're better off comparing it to something like Ratchet and Clank.
Okay.
Because I think the design's more contemporary and it's more charming. It's got a lot more character.
Nice.
But the other thing, of course, is EverQuest Next's Landmark. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
Okay.
No.
You've heard of EverQuest Next?
Yes.
I've heard of EverQuest.
Right.
I heard of EverQuest Next, but I never played EverQuest, so I wouldn't know.
No. Well, I mean, it's EQ and EQ2 are kind of going back into the misty past a wee bit, but
yeah.
Basically, Landmark kind of dropped out of the sky and people weren't really expecting it, and this is something that I think it's worth having a look online. If you just go to EverQuest Next Landmark, just Google that and you can see some time-lapse videos, but it's effectively it's kind of hard to explain. It's almost like a prelude to EverQuest itself, in that you can explore the world, and not only that, you can actually build things in it. You can craft the landscape, you can craft structures, and any stuff that's deemed of a sufficiently high quality will actually end up in the final game, in EverQuest Next itself. So that's kind of interesting. But then, of course, people are going, well, so, okay, well, if you're doing all this, what's left for EverQuest Next if you're going to be doing the exploration and the... But, of course, the main game is where the gameplay is going to be. So this, it's almost like a way of getting your characters and your names and so forth sorted out, but you're not actually playing the game proper, but you have the opportunity to contribute to the look of it, to the environment. I'm not aware of anything like that having ever happened before, but I'm very intrigued by that, especially since, as anyone who listens to this podcast knows, I enjoy building things in Minecraft, so obviously this is honey to the bee as far as I'm concerned.
I think, you know, Portal Online has a build system, and that other one that's name is escaping me right now. Yeah, no, it's gone.
Oh, no, I know the one you mean. It's Rat's Clacker.
You've got to watch the first thing to...
Yeah.
One of the interesting things that one of the chief design engineer at Digital Extremes, the guys who do Warframe, said recently, was he was interested in fan-made content, in that they're actually going to be stressing to build ways that the fans can actually make missions or layouts or whatever, or maps, or maybe even enemies for the game. And that, I think, is the way of the future. If you give us more things to build, more chances to build, more ways to build, people will keep coming back. and not just in the games that we've talked about, but in any game.
If it's easy to build, that's the key other point. But yeah.
Ah, good qualification. Yeah, if it's like City of Heroes or some of the others.
Or just, yeah, using the Second Life example again, it's the best ever place I've seen to make your own content, but by God, it's hard to do.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, well, that was the intriguing thing about the all the little time lapse videos for Landmark was just how quickly you were able. They had like two people, and I think they were getting the job done in like 30-40 minutes. It was pretty quick.
Yeah. Wow, that's fast.
Yeah.
All right. Subscription. And speaking of subscriptions, I just wanted to briefly mention WoW, the other bit of chunk of time I've spent is getting my second character up to 90, my little priest healer, and I've been enjoying quite a bit again WoW, but just again mostly pet battles and running some heroics to get gear up. So I've just totally lost track of the new content and don't feel like I'm anywhere near being able to participate in it, but it's still putting along and it's still going well. And also did a little bit of Secret World off the cuff. I've just finished up in the Savage Coast, which is good. About to go to the Blue Mountains.
Oh, very nice. Send us a postcard.
I will. It's meant to be lovely this time of year.
Hmm.
So,
watch out for them monsters.
Yeah, there's no shortage of them. So before, we're well and truly over the hour, I think, now. So before we wrap up, any last words from you, Christy?
Oh, I have lots and lots of words. Which one would you like in particular?
Something in between 6 and 8 letters.
7? Wait, that's 5.
No, that's 5. Oh, good try,
that
though.
It's been awesome. And one thing on subscriptions, Trion World has announced that they've actually gone up in both sales and player numbers since going free to play. They haven't announced how much they've gone up in profit, but I am assuming, considering the amount I've thrown in the car shop, and I'm sure other people have too, is that they are making quite a tidy little sum right now. So, you know, maybe you should consider that, Elder Scrolls.
Exactly. Simon.
I have one word for you. Infinity.
And beyond.
No, just infinity. If you missed Prelude to Infinity in the comic shop, then you want to go and grab the bumper 84-page edition of Infinity, which is the latest Marvel event.
Oh, yep. I'm with you now. Yeah.
So, yeah. And don't buy it on Comixology. Go and get the hard copy from your local friendly comic book guy, because like most Marvel comics, the digital edition code is included on the hard copy. So get physical comic, and then you can just jump on the Marvel site or Comixology and redeem your digital edition and read it on your iPad.
So is it? We're going off on a tangent. Is it any good? I was totally put off with Avengers versus X-Men, shat me to tears, and so I've avoided any big events in Marvel since then. But anyway.
Well, in all honesty, it's got a big picture of big blue Thanos on the cover, so I mean that's a good start for one thing. But the artwork's beautiful, absolutely beautiful in there. So, I think it looks really promising. It's pretty epic.
Cool,
and just. So, I'm not going to ruin it for anyone.
A very quick plug to our sister website, the Comics Herald, comicsherald.com, if you want. There's a bunch of writers over there that review Marvel and DC primarily, but also a lot of good independent comics and some web comics each week as well. So definitely check that out.
Oh, I do have another two words, sorry.
Rats clacker.
Federal election. Don't forget to vote.
No, spoil your ballot. Vote for Bob the Builder.
He can fix it. Sorry.
I've had a little bit too much wine. The other two clowns clearly can't. But anyway, moving on. No, what I was going to say was Viractyl and Dubak. And the third word would be mounts. So it looks like we've got some new mounts coming into SWTOR, hopefully the scaling issue will be sorted out, because, I mean, there's a big difference in size. The Dubak and the Viractyl are big animals. And Tonton's quite big, and they got some scaling issues, I think, with I can't imagine how they're going to fit those on the fleet, but you're either going to be wandering around on pygmy versions or, I don't know, there's going to be some clipping hell going on. But, the models...
Who will clean up after them?
That's what I was just thinking. Is someone going to go through and clean up in your little... storage area in your ship with all these mounts?
There's no risk of any of that in the game. They can't even do day and night. They're not going to have droppings.
Don't give them ideas.
Was it Mortal Alliance actually did have horses that pooped? I know there was a game that had poop.
There's plenty of poo quests in WoW. That's for sure. Including in Mists of Pandaria.
Well, there's plenty of poo quests in Marvel Heroes as well.
The lot.
Yeah, that's true.
I think those ones are a bit more smelly, though.
Yes. All right, Ed, any last words from you?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Nice.
That's more than 7 letters.
That's a lot more than 7 letters. But you know what? He didn't tell me to keep it under 7 letters. Right. He told you to keep it under 7 letters.
It's also not valid for Scrabble.
Really?
Yes, it is. Actually, it is.
The Canadian rules.
Would you get enough letters, though?
Yeah, well, what can you expect from a Canadian?
And their American spelling.
That's right.
Do you really want to go there with me, Missy? Do you really want to go there with me? We can have a nice long discussion about the proper use of grammar.
Discussion, please. Let's go out the back with some fisticuffs.
No. I don't use no fisticuffs. I use my granddaddy's shotgun.
Bloody Americans get you every time.
At dawn. No, he's Canadian. He doesn't have a gun.
No, that's right. They don't believe in him.
Nowadays, I don't actually have a gun. It's all a stereotype anyway. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Wilson, for joining us. It's been wonderful to have you back, and I'm sure we'll definitely catch up again in another in much less episodes than we did this time. So. Thank you.
We can hope.
Yeah, well, we'll find out how you go and whether you end up being a true Canadian. So we'll check in a month or two and see how you're going. But thank you, sir. It's always appreciated. So we're going to wrap it there. So as always, Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Oceanic Gamer. Same for Twitter. Simon's Twitter account is RPGBeatsRL. And Christy's Twitter account is Evil Krispy Kreme. And I'm assuming, Ed, you don't have Twitter still?
You generally don't use it.
No, that's right. Our email is contact@oceanicgamer.com. We have an open invitation to any guilds from any MMOs that'd like to come on and have a chat about their game and their guild. Do drop us a line. And we always love... reviews on iTunes, particularly given it's been well over a year since we got new ones. So we particularly love them at the moment. That will probably do us. Christy and Simon, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
I have a shameless plug that I didn't want to put into the podcast.
That's right. Everyone's turned off 20 minutes ago, so go for it.
I wrote a book.
Oh.
And I just posted it. I just published it on Amazon.
Oh, cool.
Great.
I have sold a grand total of 5 copies of said book. It is $4.99 American. I don't know how much it would be Australian. But if you enjoy, stories of dragons or whatever, this might work for you. Then again, it might not. If nothing else, if one of you guys could buy it and tell me what's right with it and what's wrong with it, I'd appreciate it.
So if you, in the next half an hour, Ed, email me the link to that, I'll post that in the show notes as well. Emails that thing, or it could be it's Outlook or something like that, and you open it up and you type an email. It's all good. Well,
yeah, I just wasn't going to put it in the podcast.
Yeah, damn straight we are. We're gonna promote it. We're gonna get you up to at least knowing with the extent of our listenership, we're gonna grow those sales from 5 to at least 6.
And 5 copies is more than Joe Biden's last book sold. So you're not doing too badly.
Did he write a book?
Yes, he did.
Oh, there you go.
Don't ask. Don't ask. Right. Just don't. So did Sarah Palin.
I bet you'd sell a lot more than five.
What would
Lots
she
of pictures
about?
Of big print, possibly.
How to be a crazy person.
I could write book.
You don't have a patch on Sarah Palin, darling. So actually, it's probably a good.
Let's not bash Sarah Palin. She's a lot of people look up to her.
Yeah, especially when she is trying to beat them down with a shotgun. Yeah.
Oh gosh, I just imagine Rudd and Abbott with shotguns.
All right, we go before this gets out of hand. All right, thank you all and say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.